It's one of those days when I wish I could have said to you that there is good news and nothing but the good news or better news on the COVID front. And there is good news. But wrapped inside it is also a bunch of bad news. And I will talk about that as well. Now, good news is when you look at the picture for the entire country, all of India, India seems to have bent the curve now, at least for now. The bad news is for one state, because if you look at all the data across the country, you also see which state has done the worst on COVID control. And frankly, it's a surprise. It's an unpleasant surprise for me also. So I will talk about that state as well. Meanwhile, you can guess. So if you look at the figures in India, now we've been noticing for about a month almost a month, that some figures have begun to flatten, then taper. First of all, the growth rate slowed, then it flattened. And now you can see that on all parameters, India's COVID figures have bent. They have bent the curve. So one, you are superstitious. You don't want to say it too early. So we waited for about 3 weeks to see a trend. 3 weeks is a reasonable trend. Second, also, you had to see there may be lag in reporting, etc., etc. So once again, you needed time. And third, remember, this is coronavirus. Nobody can afford to be arrogant. Nobody can afford to declare victory, because anybody who declares victory, anybody who says this is just another flu, is hit by this virus, Donald Trump being the latest example after Bolsonaro and Boris Johnson. And any country or province that says, I've conquered the virus, this comes back with a vengeance and teaches them a lesson. You want to see domestically, Kerala is going through that. There was Kerala model and everybody celebrated it. And then the virus came back with a vengeance now. And Kerala's test positivity rate now is the second highest in the country. Then there's a country like Czech Republic, which had done very well. And if you would remember, we had done a cut the clutter quite some time back in the early days of the pandemic, saying how Czech Republic had kept their pandemic under control because they promoted the use of masks in the very beginning and they made masks compulsory. So they were a big success story in Europe. Now look at the graphics of Europe and see where Czech Republic is going. So never declare victory against the virus. Be humble, but look at the facts. When facts are good, then say, thank God, so far so good. I must be doing something right, and whatever I'm doing, I must keep doing more of that. And similarly, for one state, not Kerala, which is getting everything wrong, I've given half the story away, seems to be doing something wrong, to be the worst performing in the country without having any reason to do so, or at least any apparent reason to do so, that has to do some things better. So these are lessons. There are no absolute victories, defeats. If you look at the picture all over India now, see the peaks in India. September was our most difficult month. Many bad peaks were crossed in September. So India's highest peaks in bad numbers, all the bad numbers of COVID were crossed in the week between September 11 and September 17. September 11, India recorded the highest number of positive cases. That is 97,570. Some figures I will round off to the last zero. 97,570 positives. September 15 was the highest number of deaths so far, 1290. So when you got the numbers go not just above a million, but actually close to 11 lakhs, mid-September, September 17, then you thought, God, the way this is going up, at some point, our health system will collapse. It will not be able to handle so many active cases. And who knows how long before we get to 2 million and more. Because when you see a rising graph in the wrong direction, you worry, you cannot underestimate it. But then something happened after that. What happened after that was that, as I said, first you saw a slowing, then a flattening, and then a decline. In decline in all these numbers, remember, everything is reversible. The virus is the champion of all this. It can lose a race for some time and recover very quickly, so be humble about it. But if you see how the curve is bent now, Now, active cases are declining. If you look at Shamika Ravi's graphics, I think based on yesterday's data, she said active cases are declining at about 1.1% a day. That's quite healthy. But if you look at today's data from Ministry of Health and Family Welfare website, then you will find that 20 plus thousand active cases have reduced by. So if you look at this number of active cases, then it would look as if the decline in active cases is even faster. So instead of that 1.1 million having become 2 million by now, 2.5 million by now, today it is in the 8 lakh ballpark. In fact, it's the first time, it's right now it's 8,62,000. It's the first time last 5 or 6 days after a month that India's active cases are below 9 lakhs. Once again, we are not taking one day's numbers. We waited for a week for this trend to be established. Then India's total deaths. The latest figure, that is last 24 hours, is 706. It's a lot of Indians dead to the virus. But compared to 1290, less than a month back, I would say this is a minor blessing, so thank God for it. So deaths are on the decline, active cases are on the decline, and case positivity, test positivity is on the decline. It's now 6.7% last 24 hours, and that is the average generally of the last couple of weeks. But overall, India's average is 8% still. So this tells you that this is lower than India's average. So this is also a change for the better. Now, the other quite interesting thing is India's case fatality rate. Case fatality rate is fatality or deaths among people who've been diagnosed and identified as coronavirus positive. So as we keep saying, it is difficult, very difficult to conceal fatality figures here. If you have a lot of people undiagnosed, as serological surveys show, then you can say some people may be dying in villages, nobody knows. That is a theoretical argument I can't counter. We'll know next year or a couple of years later when more data comes out. But once people are identified as corona positive, then if one dies, it's difficult to hide those deaths. So if you look at India's overall case fatality rate, this has also declined as the other figures have declined. So India's case fatality rate, which at one point in the beginning was close to 3%, as doctors across the world have learned to deal with this better, as people across the world have begun to get diagnosed earlier and take precautions, all over the world, case fatality rate is coming down. Globally, what was seen to be nearly 6%, 7%, 8% in Europe when it began is now down to about 3% or thereabouts, in the 3% ballpark. In India, it had started with about 3%, and even then we said that this is much lower than the global averages. Today, it's down to 1.52. In fact, if you look at the daily death figures, it seems that unless this virus gets a second breath and comes after us yet again, I see this case fatality rate declining, which means hats off to our doctors, nurses, hospitals, and even people that they are doing a much better job of managing the disease. Also, new drugs have come in. We know that steroids are saving a lot of lives. Remdesivir is saving lives and also reducing the treatment period. So all those big changes have taken place at the national level. Now, I come back to the tricky part. The tricky part is this large national data combines many good news stories, but also combines some bad news stories. Bad news stories are the laggard states. Now, I'm not listing the laggard states. I'm just pointing out to you the champion from the bottom. And that, unfortunately, and it's a very unpleasant surprise for me, it's actually the state of Maharashtra, which is, okay, it's among our more urbanized states. So you might say it has Bombay, Pune, Nagpur, big cities, and big cities have congestion, Thane, Navi Mumbai, big cities have congestion, and the virus likes congestion, and they have slums. But the fact is, in many of the slum areas, especially in Bombay, the state has done very well. The state also has a big metropolitan success story. That's in Mumbai. Mumbai, the first areas to be hit were Mumbai slums, and people thought there'd be bodies lying all over. But the teams in under Mumbai Municipal Corporation, or what is called as BMC, Brihanmumbai Municipal Corporation, has done a stellar work. Officers, people, workers, volunteers, NGOs, everybody. So Bombay's slums have done brilliantly. Bombay city, Mumbai city, has also got its act together and done quite well. But if you look at the whole state, it is quite a disaster. And frankly, I've looked at many things and I've been trying to speak with the state government officials also. And I spoke with the health minister briefly. I've got some insights, but I really don't have an explanation. So let me first give you some data. If you look at Maharashtra, you will see that Maharashtra beats the rest of the country on all bad data. Or Maharashtra beats the rest of the country by some distance on all bad news on its coronavirus fight. So all over the country, our fatalities per million are about 80, 79.6 as of today. In Maharashtra, it's 333. So that is a little more than 4 times the national average per million. Then if you look at the total deaths in India, all over India, the deaths are 1,10,000. All this data is from the website of the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, where every state puts its data also. So Maharashtra's data is also from there. So nationally, we've lost 1,10,000 lives, of which Maharashtra's contribution is 41,000 lives. And I will put this in perspective, that Maharashtra has 9% of India's population. Maharashtra is our second largest state. In fact, Bihar has a little more population than Maharashtra now. But in terms of traditionally, and also in terms of the MPs it sends to parliament, Maharashtra is India's second largest state. It contributes 9% to India's population. For comparisons, UP is about twice as big. So UP contributes about 18%, 17.5%. So 9% of India's population accounts for 41% of India's COVID death. Let that sink in. 9% of the population accounts for 41% of India's COVID death. Normally, you would have thought that you will get news like this from Bihar or Uttar Pradesh or someplace, Odisha or someplace like that. But Maharashtra, which is by no means India's poorest state, it's among India's richer states and better infrastructure. Coastal state, big cities, it's quite a surprise that this has happened there. Now, once again, Maharashtra is 9% of India's population, but is 22% of all of India's cases. So once again, it does way out of proportion of its population, share of the population of India, on the wrong side. So 9% population, 22% of India's cases. And that is not yet bad enough. I will give you a couple of other things that will tell you where the problem is. And in fact, that will also give us an indication as to what the problem is. The problem is Maharashtra's testing. If you look at Maharashtra's testing, all over India, our tests per million are about 64,000. This includes UP, Bihar, Assam, West Bengal, champion states, quote-unquote champion states, Odisha, really poor states. If you look at them all together, there is a surprise there. I'll mention that in the end. If you add them all together, India's tests per million are 64,000 per million. India has today, as of today, conducted 9 crore tests. It's a lot of tests. And you would have imagined that a progressive, well-run, well-to-do state like Maharashtra with big cities would have contributed like for its population base maybe 75,000, 80,000, 100,000 per million. So they would have improved the national average. That is not true. Maharashtra has upped its testing in the last few weeks, but still it is about 60,000, 61,000. It is way below, it is below the national average and way below some other states, one surprise state. Then if you look at case fatality rate, that is the number of identified coronavirus patients who die because of it, then national average, I told you, is 1.52. Maharashtra is almost 50% more than this. So Maharashtra is 2.67. Again, what justifies it? I don't know. Although there is an explanation from the Health Minister of Maharashtra, Rajesh Tope, which I will tell you. Now, very often Maharashtra tends to say, but look at Gujarat, we are doing better than Gujarat. Now, Gujarat is also not doing brilliantly on COVID control, by no means. But unfortunately, Maharashtra is the champion. Maharashtra have beaten Gujarat. Gujarat's case fatality rate, for example, is 2.37%. Maharashtra is not the worst in the country on this count. The worst is Punjab at 3.1%, but Punjab is one of the smaller states. Punjab is about 3 crore population. Maharashtra is about 12.3 crore population estimated for 2020. So that's a large state. So among larger states, Maharashtra is the worst for fatalities. Among all states, Maharashtra is the second worst, followed closely by Gujarat then. Now, I spoke with Maharashtra's health minister, Rajesh Tope, who said that, look, a lot of our numbers might look high because we are honest and we are paying for our honesty, not his words, mine. He said that, look, we count anybody who had coronavirus as coronavirus fatality, even if the person had cancer, was a victim of an accident, or heart disease, etc., etc., etc. Whereas many states are then hiding cases like that. Now, we know that. But again, that is to an extent. Even if you add all that in terms of case fatality rate, Maharashtra will be much, 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 much higher. The minister also says that I agree that we could have tested more. And he also says that now I have more than 500 labs and we are scaling up our testing. Yes, that's a good idea. But the fact is that so far testing was poor. So let me point out to you one more key data point. The data point is India's test positivity rate. That is, if you test 100 people, how many turn out positive? India's is, all of India is 8% beginning March, beginning with the arrival of the pandemic into the country. And today it's 6.7. WHO global health norms are that if your positivity rate goes above 8.5%, that means you are testing too little. You have to test more. So India has brought its average below, average to 8 and current rate at 6.57%. Do you know what it is for Maharashtra? I mean, I can round it off and somebody might say I'm exaggerating. So if I round it off, it's 20%. And if you say I'm exaggerating, then you might be more satisfied if I said it's 19.94%. 19.94% means Maharashtra should be testing about at least twice as much as it's testing. Now, people in Maharashtra also tell me, oh, no, no, no. Most of our tests are RT-PCR. Two-thirds of our tests are RT-PCR or maybe even more, whereas many of the other states are doing a lot of rapid antigen tests. That may be true also, but even with that, if your positivity rate is 20%, you have to test twice as much, because unless you do it, you cannot control it, and unless you do it, you cannot contain your fatalities, because the key to saving lives is to catch these infections early. There is no point finding these infections when pneumonia has set in, when immune reaction has set in, when cytokine storms are going on, and when people's lungs are already wrecked. So the big, I think, where they let the ball slip was on testing, and that's a big problem. Now, I told you in the very beginning that we have usual suspects. We might say, अरे ये तो यूपी बिहार के फिगर्स होते हैं और यूपी बिहार को कौन ट्रस्ट करेगा बट जस्ट मेक ए कंपैरिजन विद यूपी एंड बिहार यूपीज टेस्ट्स पर मिलियन यूपी इज ट्वाइस द पॉपुलेशन ऑफ अप्रॉक्सीमेटली ऑफ महाराष्ट्र ऑल एस्टिमेटेड फॉर 2020 यूपीज टेस्ट्स पर मिलियन आर 57,000 विच इज जस्ट अ लिटिल बिलो से 5% बिलो महाराष्ट्र बट बिलो महाराष्ट्र यूपीज बिहार्स टेस्ट्स पर मिलियन I told you there's one surprise in this pack. Bihar's tests per million are 71,000. They are not just higher than rich Maharashtra where they export so much cheap labor, but it's also higher than the national average. It's considerably higher than the national average. Now, it's possible a lot of them are rapid antigen tests, but a lot of the states are doing a lot of rapid antigen tests, including Kerala. So Bihar is 71,000 compared to Maharashtra is about anything between 61 to 63,000. Then you look at test positivity rate. Uttar Pradesh is 3.6, Bihar is 2.32, Maharashtra, richer Maharashtra, much richer Maharashtra, which employs millions from UP and Bihar at low wages and is the engine of India's economy, is 19.94%, rounded off to 20%. Case fatality rate for UP is 1.47, Bihar is just 0.48. You might say, I don't believe the data, but this is the data that you have. There's an election coming up. I think the price of hiding deaths there will be quite steep, and we are always looking. But Maharashtra has 2.67% case fatality rate. And this isn't just a comparison. I'm just using extreme cases like UP and Bihar to make a comparison. Maharashtra's testing rate, tests per million, are lower than Andhra, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Telangana and Delhi. All this is not nice. And you know what? I'm also surprised that Maharashtra has taken this long waking up to this. Because of all the governments, lots of politicians have been caught by the virus. I told you, virus doesn't like arrogance. And virus looks for people who might think they are more powerful than the virus. So no comment on any individual, but Maharashtra has a cabinet of 33. 11 members of that cabinet have been caught by the virus. Maharashtra has 10 ministers of state. Two of them have been caught by the virus. So out of 43, 13, that is almost one third, have been hit by the virus. And yet that government, for some reason, has not shown the alacrity, the urgency, the desperation to fight it that probably was needed, and that it could have been able to afford to do it, because it is not the poorest state government in India by any stretch of imagination. Having said all that, I would say that Mumbai city has done brilliantly, because everybody thought that viral apocalypse was going to visit India in the city of Mumbai and slums of Mumbai. That hasn't happened. So credit where it's due. But going back to our good news, credit also where it's due to our national will, that at this point we've been able to bend this graph. The challenge now is to keep it bent, because virus comes in waves, and now there's winter coming in. We know that this virus, hot weather has not been able to kill it, but cold weather makes it much stronger.